It seems like I was just here. But I guess it was yesterday. Good morning. Here we are. We made it. It is the Bob Rose Show. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to our fantastic folks at Waste Pro, caring for our communities. Very good. Very good. All right. Another day in paradise, my friends. Yeah, a lot of rain around the area yesterday, and we will absolutely accept that, and we will accept that graciously. Thank you, dear Lord. We need it. Fill up those lakes! And fill up that aquifer, too. I mean, I don't see the aquifer, but I understand its relevance and importance in the grand scheme of things. Hey, speaking of some basic needs, man, it is apparently life on the island of Cuba is just getting tougher and tougher. And, Americans are being warned, reminded maybe part, but warned too, as the people there get more desperate. If you decide to travel down there, which technically is still unlawful, but there's about 12 different avenues in which you can get it done legally. But they're kind of discouraging because the people are desperate. And it could make you very easily a victim. Now, I've spoke to several people that have made trips there recently. And, you know, all in all, they seem to enjoy themselves and had a good time. You know, the people generally are great people. But they're suffering in a desperate time sometimes. Not good. Americans who are legally traveling to Cuba should expect major disruptions because of the country's blackout. In a statement that Fox News got, the U.S. Embassy in Havana said that the country is currently experiencing a total power failure due to its electrical grid collapsing. So, quote, all U.S. citizens in Cuba or planning to travel to Cuba should be aware and plan accordingly. This is the sixth nationwide grid failure of just this year. And three occurred in July alone. Residents are currently suffering from intense heat, lack of air conditioning, many sleeping outside near the water to escape the sweltering temperatures. Wow. Sunday's highest temps was 93, but, you know, with humidity, it felt like 106 because you're looking at 80% humidity levels in that area. Now, look, it's by no means a tourism hotspot, quote unquote, but it still does attract visitors from around the world, including Americans. And like I said, U.S. law actually forbids Americans to travel to Cuba for tourism purposes, but some visits are permitted under about a dozen different categories. So hope there's better times ahead for the folks in Cuba. And part of the issue has to do with us and oil sanctions. So I guess it's time for regime change. Hopefully, I mean, here we go again, right? I guess you could chalk it up that way. And then there's Iran. I did, you know, the promo for the show yesterday, and I said something about, you know, progress, you know, any kind of progress as far as peace, getting to the table, signing agreements, anything like that. You know, and I was like, yeah, progress. Have we really made any? Have we made any? Or is this, once again, another Groundhog Day? We'll see. One of the hitches in kind of that deal in terms of what we need to do, and I think that there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes with the president and the State Department and, you know, maybe some of our spook organizations. They're working behind the scenes. So it's more than just this sort of standoff. But what seems to be complicating some of the matters is Saudi Arabia. Go figure. How many years can we go back and say, the Saudis are our best friends? Yeah, the Saudis aren't really all that great. Hey, the Saudis are our best friends. Hey, weren't a bunch of the people that, you know, blew up the World Trade Center, weren't they from Saudi Arabia? Hey, Saudi Arabia's our friends. I'm being straight with you. I think they can be, at times a good friend, and at other times, remember, look, it's a royal family. Think about it. Royal family. How many royal families do you know where there's not a couple of kooks in there somewhere? Yeah. So that's part of the issue, but that's internal on their part. But Saudi Arabia's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, reportedly called President Trump on Saturday, and you probably know this, and implored him to hold off striking Iran. And Trump acquiesced. Or did he decide anyway, but that was just more input to help him make a decision? I don't know. But some say he punted on the massive American bombing that we were just about to... we were going to hammer them. Now, Saudi Arabia is in a tough spot. The Iranian regime continues to hammer the kingdom with drones and missiles, threatening its oil and water resources. But it's not like they haven't had help being protected. Our war fighters, even Greek air defense teams, have ensured the safety of the Saudi state throughout the conflict. And that was new information for me. Yet rather than aligning more closely with us, which you think that's, you know, they're being attacked by Iran. So, of course, that would push them toward a greater alignment with us, you would think. But instead, they're gravitating toward, you know, a basket, or as referred to by some as basket cases in the Middle East. They're calling it STEP. So there's Saudi Arabia, S, Turkey, T, Egypt, E, Pakistan, P, STEP. Now, these are American allies, but they have been a little squishy, too, in the past, have they not? Yes. There's been some vacillation there. But they're, you know, first of all, they're not our enemies, but are they working toward American interest right now? Doubted. They view the weakening of the Shiite regime in Iran as an opportunity to reassert Sunni state dominance in the Muslim world. So once again, this cultural issues that are complicated tend to be standing in the way right now, with us really being effective in getting some things done with Iran. And, you know, all these forces, you go, well, they're all Muslims. Yeah, it's not that simple. It never was, as we discovered where? In Iraq, which is what? Next door neighbor to Iran. That part of the world, I guess to sum it up, I don't know. My father told me many years ago, and he was very, very well read of history and all kinds of things. He said, people from that part of the planet they're nuts. Yeah, and to a 12-year-old, that was an adequate explanation. I was hoping that 50 years later, I could come up with something better. Yeah, not so much. Hey, do the folks in the WNBA that are working there, I mean, that the league gives them a paycheck, do they realize what the W even stands for? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Live and local, it's 97.3 The Sky. That naked jumper that jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge I told you about the other day survived. How is that even possible? The odds are very much against you. We'll get into that. I know. It's a naked man story. I'll use due care. It's nothing I haven't seen before. Good morning and welcome. Come on. Lighten up, will you? It is 6:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Before we get into any naked man stories, though, you need to know what some of the top headlines are and top stories that we're dealing with. U.S. and Iran still in a standoff. What? Shocker, I know. You know what'll be a shock? When you wake up one morning, and I hope it's in the near future, where I say there really is peace. There really is truly an agreement, and the regime has given up. That's, maybe I'm in dreamland there. Still got those destructive fires going on near Spokane, Washington. 60,000 evacuations. And now, I think it was yesterday, the numbers had like 60 structures that were destroyed. Now they're up to 600. And they've arrested an arson suspect. Okay. So those are some of your top stories. Oh, and Todd Blanche. You know, he's the guy that's the acting AG. They want to make him the full-time AG. Except there was a couple of Republicans, Tillis, I know, was one of them, that didn't like that whole idea of having a billion-dollar fund to try to make things right with people who suffered from the weaponization of government against them. Yeah, it was $1.8 billion fund. Todd Blanche rescinded that weaponization fund. So once they knew that he was not going to push that forward, then the announcement came out that these key Republicans would now back him. You know, it's enough to try to get things done with the silly Democrats. But when you've got some Republicans that are, you know, playing these what I consider silly games, you know, waste of time almost. But that's how it stands for now. Now, some really unimportant stuff, but probably a little more interesting. The WNBA, there's a coach named Cheryl Reeve. And one of the games, she wore a shirt. You know the controversy going on, right? The WNBA, well, one of the controversies. You know, is this argument about trans. The league, apparently, most of the coaches, most of the players, very pro-trans. And not to say that some players, like Sophie Cunningham, it's not they're anti-trans. They're anti-boys playing in girls' sports. See the two differences there? See they're on two different pages? Now, can you be both? Yes. Yeah, be supportive of people that are dealing with their trans issues, but also believe biologically males shouldn't play with women in women's sports. Do they realize that the WNBA, the W really does signify women, and that they have literally a league of their own, but yet they're doing everything they can to make girls' sports more difficult for girls. What's going on here? So this WNBA coach, she wears a shirt with the Trans Kids Belong. Trans kids, well, trans kids belong. Trans kids, biological male trans, don't belong in girls' sports, though. But everywhere else? Sure. All right. She's an apparent troll, the Indiana Fever star, Sophie Cunningham, who previously called for a Rooney Rule in her organization to protect women's coaching jobs from being taken over by men. Did you hear that? She wants protection, this coach. Protection to make sure men, those nasty men, don't come and take her job as a coach. Now, you really are asking for special protection, aren't you? If you own a franchise team, what's the goal? Win, put fans in the seats, make money. There's an investment. We want ROI, return on investment. If a male coach you think can motivate to a greater degree, for whatever reason, coach in some spectacular way and bring you a championship and make you rich, what are you going to do? You're going to hire the best person for the job. Would she be more comfortable if the person was a biological male who identified as a woman? Would she then attempt to ban them from getting a job at the WNBA? Isn't that interesting? We had more women coaching college basketball before Title IX. After Title IX, when it became more important and an investment, that's what the code was for. Well, that's a man's job. You got paid more. It became a man's job, she said. To this day, we still don't have more women coaching in college basketball than we do men. Apply the same thing to 2 years ago. We lost 7 WNBA coaches. They got fired because all of a sudden this money, the WNBA blew up. valuations of franchises. In comes the NBA folks again, who had cast us aside for many years. Now they want their franchises back, that sort of thing. It's more important again. And then we have more men. Again, if it is important to win, if it is important to have a return on your investment, and a male coach, for whatever reason, may be more successful, they shouldn't even have a chance at the job? How exactly does that work? Isn't that exactly the kind of discrimination that women had faced in the workplace for a very, very long time? It's exactly the same thing. But these folks with this kind of mentality, they don't understand that. They actually want discrimination when it benefits them. That's basically what it boils down to. All right? So that's the deal on that. I told you about the guy surviving Brooklyn Bridge. He jumped. He was naked. I don't know why people in some states of distress, whether it has to do with particular drugs they're on or some type of mental illness, why they insist on stripping down to then engage in whatever it is. In this case, this guy was jumping off the Brooklyn Bridge. I'll tell you about his survival. How did he survive? I mean, we're talking a 270-foot bridge tower, 270 feet. It's like hitting concrete. Details on that and a whole lot more. It's all coming your way on the Bob Rose Show. Live and local, 97.3 The Sky. Just strumming away. Get ready for another beautiful day, my friends. Pump it up. It is 6:40 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Thanks for supporting what we do. We appreciate it. Hey, yesterday I talked to Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins. It was another great interview with the guy. He's rock solid, man. I like him. But you can check it out for yourself and see what you think. Yeah, it's the Bob Rose Show podcast, and it's free on Odyssey, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you listen. You just search the Bob Rose Show and hit follow. What's going on in the world? U.S.-Iran standoff. This is not a repeat. This is fresh, whether you think it is or not. President Trump called off planned military strikes and warned Tehran that renewed talks are its last chance, quote unquote, for a deal, despite Iran denying direct negotiations. They're like, last chance? La, 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 la. We never got that message. La, 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 la. Ridiculous. But here we are. Fire still raging in Spokane, Washington State. 60,000 evacuations, 600 structures destroyed. All right. What else do we have going on in the world today? I told you about this guy that jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, that's tall, especially if you're at the top of the tower. That's where he jumped from. It's 270 feet from there to the water. You'd reach speeds of, I don't know, maybe 80-100 miles an hour hitting the water like that. That's a lot of force. The vast majority of people just simply don't survive it. And according to a doctor who's a trauma surgeon, Dr. David Shapiro, about 30 years experience with this kind of thing, he said it generates extreme kinetic energy that causes widespread life-threatening trauma. And they're surprised that this guy, the 44-year-old jumper, Galmazan Albadeyev, who will be known as just Gall, because he had the gall to do that, I guess. That's my nickname I'm giving him. He's in stable condition after the 278-foot leap from the top of the Brooklyn Bridge. Dr. Shapiro said it could be attributable to a couple of variables, but not many of them likely. Now, the bag that he was carrying could serve as a makeshift parachute. That it might have reduced his descent speed, like just enough to save his life. It didn't appear, you know, like it slowed him down much, but he guesses, the doctor does, that his speed was between 79 and 87 miles an hour when his body hit the water. Now, if, say, a rock fell in and kind of, you know, just ahead of him, it sort of softens the water surface. It breaks the surface, if you will. That reduces the impact on his body. Not a lot, but somewhat. But what he thinks really is probably most likely is the way in which he went in. You want your body to have the least amount of resistance. Best example of that, cliff divers. You see how smooth they go into the water? They cut, they slice right through the water. If you put your hands out like a typical person falling, you know, like on the ground, they put their hands out. No, that's not going to be good for your body. Think about all that force. Up into your shoulders, into your neck. Basically, you know, could sever your spine. It's not pretty. And he said, really, it's a deceleration injury is kind of how they talk about that, I guess, in the trauma world. Just like people joke, they go, hey, it's not falling. It's the sudden impact that kills you. Well, I mean, that's exactly it. Like when an airbag goes off, it's not supposed to completely stop you because that would create that same or a similar kind of deceleration impact. So that's why it slows you down rapidly, but doesn't stop you because that creates some of the same problems that the actual, you know, trauma would do without the airbag. And he said, yeah, look, if you, I guess your heel bone is really pretty solid, right? Now, what happens is it can absorb some impact, but then it transfers it to like your ankles. And you get complex ankle fractures on both sides. Also, your femur, the biggest bones in your body, could also be injured. And he goes on to, I guess we don't need to get into the details of it. But it's so rare that somebody would survive something like this. The precision alignment of factors, reduced descent velocity, ideal body orientation, immediate access to trauma care, which he had. He was fished out of the river real quick by harbor unit cops, rushed to Bellevue, and somehow in stable condition. He's been charged with reckless endangerment, making graffiti, public lewdness, criminal trespass, disorderly conduct, but he's alive, in stable condition. Now, he might not be out of the woods yet. There are people that have fallen and survived and died days or even weeks later from injuries, because some of these things can be very complex, and, you know, the brain trauma thing, it can be quite delicate, to my understanding. But I hope this guy, you know, they did some kind of study somewhere, and I'm sorry that I can't cite it right now, but it had to do, I think, with maybe the Golden Gate Bridge or one of the bridges out there in San Francisco. And the people that falling, okay, they've had several survivors, and they said that they wanted to live. They wanted to live when they were literally halfway down to the water. In that split second, they're like, I don't want to die. Now, everybody might have felt that way, and most of them died, but the ones that didn't, it is interesting that a lot of them share that. Like, I really didn't. I did it. As soon as I did it, I realized I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to die. So this guy has a second chance. I'm sure that he has some pretty powerful mental issues that are working against him, but hopefully he'll make a full recovery and he'll say, wow, of all the people that jump and die, I survived. Maybe there's something positive, a greater calling, something that I can do with my life that might benefit others. Yeah, sometimes I'm a big picture kind of guy. An unproven Vietnamese electric vehicle manufacturer's billion-dollar deal that was championed by then-Governor Roy Cooper. He was the Democrat governor of North Carolina. Well, apparently this deal has just fallen apart. It's just crumbled. The deal was struck in 2022. The state committed $1.2 billion of taxpayer money to VinFast, a Vietnamese-based electric vehicle manufacturer. Doesn't look like that worked out. Who's holding the bag? Not the ex-governor. Taxpayers, once again. 6:47 on the Bob Rose Show. A lot more to come. Hang in there. Hey, let's take a look and see if anything is building up steam out in the Atlantic. I'll share that news with you next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. It is 6:51 right now. How's it looking? We're in the middle of hurricane season. Here we are into August, where things tend to heat up. And you know and you remember that we were there for you then and we're here for you now. 97.3 The Sky, the station you've always counted on for tropical weather and hurricane information before, during, and after every storm. Sky Storm Watch. For Area Rugmasters, Radiant Credit Union, and Best Restoration, Masters of Disasters. And yeah, I did a look-see. I went to talk to Noah, who built the weather. Noah. Anyway, and there's no activity. I mean, none. There's not even a ripple. You could literally water ski right now from the eastern coast of Florida and go all the way to Europe. Okay, a mild exaggeration is possible on my part. But anyway, you get the idea. That is looking very good. Now, conditions change, but according to NOAA, no action even predicted in the next 7 days. And I'll take that, all right? Because that'll put us almost in the middle of August. So hang in there, my friends. We're here for you. I was telling you about this deal that the former governor of North Carolina worked out a deal with this Vietnamese-based electric vehicle manufacturer. Now, have you heard of the company? It's called VinFast, V-I-N, capital F-A-S-T, VinFast. I never heard of them. And a whole lot of other people hadn't heard of them. What made this guy cut a deal like that? Scheduled a monthly meeting July 27th. Chatham County Commissioners terminated their end of the agreement, saying that the company failed to meet performance obligations and project deadlines. And Chatham County sits about 35 miles west of the state capital of Raleigh. In May, North Carolina Attorney General Jeff Jackson, a Democrat, told the media VinFast agreed to build a factory and create jobs for North Carolinians, and it didn't do either. There's a lawsuit on behalf of the State Commerce Department. So going back to 2022, then Governor Cooper announced the deal with great fanfare, saying at the time, North Carolina is quickly becoming the center of our country's emerging clean energy economy. And this project will bring us many good jobs, along with a healthier environment, as more electric vehicles take to the road to help us reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Yeah, but you got to plug those cars in somewhere. Yeah, the magic, they don't run on magic dust. Oh, no, no. Oh, they run on batteries. Well, you're right. So no tailpipe exhaust. But once you plug them in, the source of that power is actually what you're really utilizing. Does it come from some pristine source? Is it solar power? Hey, more power to you. Chances are, though, it could come as some sort of fossil fuel. So the idea behind the electric car, of course, they were never honest. And because it was another one of those things, like a COVID shot, that was forced on people, well, maybe not to that degree, but still kind of forced into the market. You had American manufacturers investing billions of dollars. And that was from a government push. It wasn't the market demanding it. And that's why if you want socialism, or what you think socialism is, that's when government runs business. It takes over businesses. You know, first it'll start by telling them what to do. We're already there. And then they just simply take them over. Venezuela had their, you know, all the oil companies were taken over by the government. Don't worry, it'll benefit the people instead of those ugly, nasty oil companies generating a profit to keep, you know, the business going. We're just going to split up those big monies amongst the people. We're all going to be rich. And then, not too long after that, the whole oil business started to go down the tubes, okay? Because government people don't necessarily know a whole lot about oil. Producing it, pumping it, refining it, storing it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you don't want your government to get more involved in business. You can see how things can go sideways quickly. That's what they did. They forced the electric car. Now, the technology itself, it's awesome. Talk to somebody who owns an electric car. The only downside really is the charging time. If if you've got a regular commute every day to work and back, and you know that vehicle can very easily cover that distance without a recharge, and that's going to be the primary use for the vehicle, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, it's going to depend on where you charge it up. What the electric rates are is whether it really works out to your benefit or not, too. So that has to be considered. But I think the market changed overnight. The market was a little bit open to the idea. Then when it got shoved in everybody's faces and people who had a lot more money than you and I were getting tax advantages by buying a brand new electric car, we're like, hey, now just hold on a second. And then there was a shift and things turned against it. And they left the electric car business for a lot of people left a bad taste in their mouth. And the car companies have already, they changed what they were doing and what they were going to produce. They followed the market. Oh my gosh. But the technology is not necessarily bad. More to come on the Bob Rose Show, live and local on 97.3 The Sky.